We switch today from a long period of Mark's reading to John. The next 5 weeks, we stay on the same chapter of John. We jump from being in Mark just before and just after the feeding of the 5,000, and we jump to John and John's version of the story. Now, I don't understand why the lectionary did that or does that, but it's interesting to me that this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is the one miracle that is found in all four of the Gospels. It's one we learn as children in Sunday school. It's a miracle that packs a big punch. And it's one we really, well, we keep looking for explanations for. I guess if we're honest, we want an explanation for all miracles, don't we? We either want to see and believe it because we saw it with our own eyes, and we believe it's some sort of magic, or we want to prove that there's a sleight of hand and someone is tricking us. We just want to know that there's a really good explanation for what's going on. I don't think it's that we don't believe that Jesus can perform miracles. We just want to know how it happened. Did Jesus break the bread and when he handed it to the, there were baskets full to hand out? Or was it handed to one person and they took a little and as they passed it on, it reappeared? I just want to know how it happened. Did the disciples just keep coming back to Jesus and there was more and there was more? It would be nice if at least one of the writers of the Gospels would have given us at least a little bit of detail. But they didn't. So I'm not sure I can give you any good reason today or explanation of the feeding of the 5,000. But I can ask the question, why not? Why couldn't Jesus make the gifts of a young boy feed the hungry? Do we so want to limit the abilities of others, of anyone, of everyone, especially God? Before I headed to San Francisco 2 weeks ago, if you had told me that a church of about our size, 100 or 200 people, could feed anywhere from 400 to 1,000 people, 3 meals a day, 363 days a year. That's an average of 544,500 meals, by the way. But who's counting? I would have said that there is no way. What's the catch? Where's the trick? But they made it happen. If you told me that same church would create housing in downtown San Francisco, in one of the most expensive markets in the U.S., and that they would find housing for families and medical care for families and medical care for homeless, yes, once again, I would have said, no way. It just can't happen. Sure, it took time and it took energy and it took manpower and it took volunteers and it took volunteers outside of the church and it took planning and donations and faith, big faith. But most importantly, it took love and a church that wanted to love people. Was it a miracle? Sure. But miracles aren't magic. It may seem like they are. And they are certainly divine, but not magic. John Bon Jovi says that miracles happen every day. Change your perception of what a miracle is, and you'll see them all around you. Now, I can't begin to tell you what John Bon Jovi's definition of a miracle is, but I can tell you what I think a miracle is. I think it's when we don't let the world tell us what can and can't happen. We let God, and then we let it happen. I hope you heard both of those thoughts. Don't let the world tell us, let God. And then let God work through you to make it happen. That's not an easy way to live. We like to let the world dictate to us. We want the world to approve of us and what we do, and we don't want the world to think that we're a little off or crazy. And so many of us let ourselves quit imagining what God can do through us. One of the things I love about children is their ability to still let their imaginations go wild. We go outside and we play with Blaine and Keller, and you can't believe all the things we become and all the places we go in a short period of time. Children believe that they can be anything in this world. We tell children, you can grow up to be anything you want to be. And then as they begin to grow up, somehow we quickly start telling them that the things they can't do or can't be until we work the imagination out. I look at the church today. Kevin told the story. What would happen if this happened to our church today? And well, I thought about that. What if this very issue were to happen to the church today? Thousands of people show up for an unexpected event and there isn't any food. People are hungry, but they don't want to leave to go home. What do we do? Well, the finance committee gathers over here. And the Family Life Committee gathers over here, and worship gathers over here. Finance says, we can't feed all these people. Family Life says, well, we can fix it if we have it. Can worship get the money? And worship says, we've got nothing. The property ministry's over here, and they're trying to figure out, where are we going to set everybody, and what kind of a mess is this going to do to our church, and where are they going to park? Education is trying to get some brochures printed so we can make sure that everyone knows what's going on. The servant ministry is trying to figure out what we're going to do. Missions is over here making sure that we get all the info about all the ways that we help others. Communications and technology and membership have joined forces. They're going to make sure that they have everybody's phone numbers and emails. Now I tease about that. But we get caught up sometimes in those kind of thoughts. The whole idea that a large group of people want to gather together for the worship of God is lost on how do we survive as a church. I'm afraid that's what is happening to the Big C church. The whole idea of getting lost in what is so amazing and powerful and life-changing, getting lost in the love of God, has been replaced by the practical, non-miracle, just the facts, ma'am, side of the world. I've heard so many different explanations about the feeding. And the one that I love is that the boy gives his loaves and fishes, and well, as they began to pass the baskets around, people began to feel kind of bad because they've hidden some food that they brought for themselves. And they knew they didn't have enough for others, so they didn't mention it. And as the baskets are passed, people began to share part of what they've brought. And the baskets are passed, and some is added, and some is taken. And it grows, and it grows. Well, that's a practical answer for what happened. And maybe that is what happened. But I was reading online and someone had told that story. And another person immediately came right back. That is not real. That is not a miracle. The Bible says that it was a miracle. And so it can't have happened that way. And I thought about that for a while. And I thought, actually, the actions of one little boy changing the minds of thousands of people would be a miracle. An amazing miracle. Like Bon Jovi said, if we are open to seeing, miracles are all around us. There are miracles happening every day in this world. Are we open to seeing them? And probably more importantly, are we willing to participate in them? There is a story of a man who worked on Wall Street. By all worldly standards, he was doing great. But he wanted to do something different. And he stepped out on faith. And then through a simple request, created a miracle. I'd like you to see a video about this man. Just a short one. The owner of Rose's Pizza, by the world standards, was crazy to leave his job and to start a pizza by the slice place. A person who walked in and offered $1 to buy a slice of pizza for another created a miracle that is still happening today. Are we limited by our own imaginations? Is our church limited by our imaginations? How do we stretch ourselves? How do we begin to let our imaginations run wild? How do we allow God to use us in miracles? How do we stretch this church, and how do we open our church to be used by God? Our Ephesians scripture today says it so well. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. Are you open to the miracles? Are you ready to be used? Our theme at youth camp this year was taken from a poem by Mary Oliver. And I ended the service with the ending phrase from that poem every day. And I ask you today, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? What do we as a church plan to do with this one wild and precious place that God has given to us? Amen and amen.